Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tether, I think overall, is one of the most interesting projects in crypto. And it's kind of a, I don't know if revered is the right word, but it's a project that many people have been paying attention to for many years. In the beginning, you know, in 2017, 18, I remember when I joined crypto, people were quite worried about Tether, generally speaking. And then after all these years, you're seeing pretty much all of the major crypto players getting targeted in different ways and in some cases collapsing, yet Tether is thriving.
It's Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of some of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, analysts, CEOs, and anyone with a hot or smart take on what's going on in the crypto markets. I'm Jen Sanasi. Before we get into our discussion today, let's take a look at what's going on in those crypto markets. The Fed on Wednesday kept the benchmark interest rate unchanged between 5.25% and 5.5%. This was as expected. During the press conference, Powell said that the economy is too strong to cut rates and pushed back against fears of renewed rate hikes. The Fed also said that it's going to curtail quantitative tightening starting in June. All of this while the U.S. Treasury announced a program to buy back billions in government debts for the first time in over 2 decades to improve liquidity in the bond market. Now, Bitcoin rallied shortly after the news. The largest cryptocurrency by market cap was at around $58,000 as of 8 a.m. Eastern time, and Ether was at around $2,900. Now, let's make sense of all of this and take a look at Bitcoin and beyond with co-founder and CEO at Nansen, Alex Svanovic. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
All right, I got to know what you're watching this morning. And my big question for you is the bull market over? There are a few folks who have turned bearish recently. The fact that we're under $60,000 seems to be spooking some people. But what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think the bull market is over. I do think it might be a little bit choppy for a couple of weeks or maybe months. I would expect things to go sideways for a little while. We are seeing some headwinds for Bitcoin and the overall crypto market. Of course, having rates higher for longer is not great for liquidity overall. We've also seen the Hong Kong ETFs under-delivering somewhat based on the expectations that many people had. And actually on-chain, we're seeing interesting things with regards to stablecoin issuance. So for example, stablecoins on exchanges actually peaked mid-April. It's not clear. I don't think the bull market is over. I think we might get a little bit of a breather and we might go sideways for a little while. I don't know how much volatility we'll see and all that stuff. But, I think the second half of the year might be stronger. That's my view.
That stablecoin piece is pretty interesting because if stablecoins peaked while Bitcoin and Ether were kind of just remaining flat or maybe a little bit under than prices we saw in January when the ETFs were approved, that would kind of tell me that people are getting ready to trade but not deploying their capital just yet. Unpack that a little bit for me. Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, it is really interesting because we're kind of seeing a mixed picture with stablecoins. Like on the one hand, we're seeing lots of issuance and supply of stablecoins overall. And of course, I'm sure many people will have seen the incredible quarter that Tether had. They basically were able to generate $4.5 billion in profits, which is absolutely incredible and probably makes them the most profitable business on earth per headcount, I would imagine. And so clearly there are folks doing super well in the stablecoin sector. The piece that we've seen that is a little bit more bearish, perhaps, is that you're not seeing a lot of these stable coins actually making it to the centralized exchanges where people are trading. So it might be other use cases that people have for these stable coins. Maybe they're just basically trying to step aside and get some dollar exposure instead of having, say, more risk-on exposure through Bitcoin, ETH, and so on. So it is a little bit of a mixed picture overall with stable coins. But the fact that supply is so high and you're also seeing some activity in the tokenized treasuries side of things, I think is overall really interesting and sort of suggests that on-chain is the future and you're seeing lots of institutional capital coming on-chain, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting that the stable coins aren't making it to centralized exchanges and that USDT is seeing so much interest. And tell me if I'm reading this correctly, you know, I think most of the people who use Tether outside of the United States, there are some wars picking up around the world. And maybe that tells us that people are looking to crypto, stable coins in particular, as a store of value. So they're maybe not looking to trade it. Is that like, maybe tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, Tether, I think overall, is one of the most interesting projects in crypto. And it's kind of a, I don't know if revered is the right word, but it's a project that many people have been paying attention to for many years. In the beginning, you know, in 2017-18, I remember when I joined crypto, people were quite worried about Tether, generally speaking. And then after all these years, you're seeing pretty much all of the major crypto players getting targeted in different ways and in some cases collapsing, yet Tether is thriving. So it's a really fascinating project overall. And I would say that there's not, I think, a general great understanding of what people are using Tether for. In our experience, when we've looked into it a little bit, there are a couple of use cases for Tether that are quite well established. One interesting fun fact is that Tron is actually by far the place where people are using Tether the most. So it's where you have the most issuance of Tether, but it's also by far where you have the most transactions of Tether. And that could be for use cases like simply market making or sending funds between centralized exchanges at a very low cost and with low latency in terms of the transaction times. But you're also seeing people, to your point, using Tether for a store of value in, say, third world countries where you might not have great alternatives for storing value in their own local fiat currencies. And so there's quite a lot of usage of Tether in these more kind of peer-to-peer type use cases around the world. In addition, of course, you know, Tether does have a place in DeFi and so on and is used as a stable US dollar token that people trade against on, say, Uniswap and other DEXs and so on and so forth. So it has kind of an interesting, like, diverse set of use cases. But overall, I think it's almost like we're not talking enough about Tether on crypto Twitter. I think it's one of the most fascinating projects we have in crypto.
I want to talk about another fascinating project in crypto, EigenLayer. It's kind of stolen the headlines over the last few months, and now it's in the headlines again because there's an airdrop coming up. There's a plan for an airdrop with 15% allocation for ecosystem participants. And there's been some controversy around the token restrictions and minimal allocations. And I saw you tweeting about it, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on the EigenLayer airdrop. And as a follow-up, are you watching for any other airdrops this year?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of find it fascinating that we've managed to, like, we talk about inflation in the financial markets, right? We kind of have inflation of our own entitlement to receiving airdrops in crypto, and people are just raising the expectations every time that they're going to get more money and you know, doing less work for it. I find that whole phenomenon quite fascinating. I think overall, of course, it's not a transferable token, it's not tradable yet. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, what the, say, APY is for the capital that you will have deployed into EigenLayer. But if you look at fundraising rounds and so on, it suggests that actually it's been, you know, a decent amount of yield that people have been paid out in these tokens. We will, of course, see when the token actually gets transferable and we get more of a market price on the token. In terms of other airdrops, I mean, It's quite interesting right now because, you know, many projects were basically waiting for the right time to come to market with their token. And of course, many projects have issued a token in the last, say, 6 to 12 months. Now, with the markets being a little bit more uncertain, more sideways, there's a bit more, I think, fear overall in what's happening. It'll be interesting to see how that impacts other projects that have airdrop plans. But I would expect that you'll have some noteworthy airdrops coming out this year, regardless. I don't think many sort of serious projects are going to make big changes to the plans just because of the markets. And of course, at the end of the day, you know, you do an airdrop because you want to decentralize, for example, the governance of a project and overall make sure that you have stakeholders in the form of your users as well. So I don't want to mention any specific names.
I was going to just ask you to.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention any names, but I think people will generally be rewarded for using, you know, new chains, L2s, and protocols and bridges and whatnot that are popping up. And so, you know, you'll probably get a good idea if you go on Twitter and just see what people are talking about in terms of airdrops, frankly.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com. I think you are in a great position at Nansen to answer this question. What sector are you keeping an eye on now? You just mentioned layer twos, you mentioned bridges. What sector do you think is going to steal the spotlight for the remainder of the year?
I mean, personally, I'm quite excited about L2s. This is kind of one of the narratives that's been, of course, talked about for a very long time in the Ethereum ecosystem. Now you're actually seeing it play out in real life. And we did some research where we looked at, you know, when people now onboard onto, like basically onboard on chain, do they now go directly to L2s or do they still go through Ethereum? And to make a long story short, it looks like L2s like Arbitrum, Optimism, and so on have basically surpassed Ethereum L1 in terms of bringing on new, what we call retail wallets or retail users on chain. So we've kind of excluded exchange wallets and things like that in our methodology. That's pretty exciting. And it sort of shows that L2s might be living up to the hype and to that expectation that we have for scaling Ethereum. You're also seeing, you know, I think Arbitrum had something like 400,000 daily active addresses. Recently, Base as well is kind of in the same territory. And, you know, I would expect these numbers to just go up, maybe not every single day, maybe not completely linearly or exponentially, but in the second half of the year, like I said before, I'd be surprised if we don't see these numbers quite a lot higher. I think in particular, Base is interesting because it has this very strong distribution with Coinbase itself and many related infrastructural projects, you know, smart wallets coming out. Of course, you have USDC, which in itself is quite interesting how it fits into Base and what it can do for payments. So the whole L2 area, I think, is super interesting. I would also say Web3 gaming. I mean, this is something I've been saying for a while, and a few people might have lost hope at this point, frankly. But
not
you know,
me.
You're
I'm
seeing
a big Web3 gaming fan.
Amazing. So then, you know, you'll probably know that chains like Ronin, for example, have more than 1 million daily active addresses at this point. It's basically thriving with games like Pixels, and they're going to have more games come out soon. So I'm pretty excited about that ecosystem. You're also seeing other L1s, like Near has about 2 million daily active addresses at this point. And I'm not sure everyone has actually been following this kind of on-chain activity. So yeah, there's actually a lot of stuff happening. And I think like one overall theme is that it's very clear that, you know, we've been saying that multi-chain is the future, or at least that's how I've been thinking about it for a while now. It's very clear now, actually, the the present is multi-chain. This is not just some like pipe dream. You're actually seeing lots of on-chain activity on multiple different L1s as well as L2s in the Ethereum ecosystem.
I want to come back to the layer twos and this multi-chain ecosystem. Do you think that the layer twos that currently exist today will be around in 1, 2, 3 years? Or do you think we're going to see some kind of consolidation of layer twos?
That is such a good question. And I wish I had the answer to that. But I mean, I think you should be a little bit careful of reasoning through analogy, but you know, maybe you can think of this as sort of analogous to either operating systems or browsers or, I don't know, app stores. Like you can kind of pick your analogy and see how, if it's helpful. But it seems reasonable to me that there will be some form of consolidation at some point, because humans have a tendency to just congregate onto, the same. You get these shelling points, right? Where you get the users kind of congregating onto the same surfaces over time. The difference might be in sort of different chains and L2s optimizing for different things, and maybe even like geographical differences might be important. So, you know, I've seen some folks say that, for example, although it's not technically an L2, but it sort of plays a role as an L2, Ronin might be big, for example, in Asia when it comes to Web3 gaming, but perhaps Base will be stronger in the West when it comes to gaming because of its strong distribution. And so that's kind of one take I've seen that I find interesting. I would imagine that, you know, you might see an explosion in L2s in the next, we're definitely going to see that actually, like in the next year or two, because we're seeing so many L2s come to market now. It's really an explosion through like OP stack, ZK stack, and lots of L2s coming to market. But to your point, I do think at some point, I don't know exactly when, you'll probably get a natural consolidation onto maybe a smaller set of L2s. That's at least one take. I think another view you could take is that you will actually just have more and more L2s, and you know, L2s become almost like websites or something like that, where like you can kind of have, or they become like exchanges. That's kind of another mental model that I've had, where centralized exchanges are actually a little bit like L2s. They're similar in the sense that you deposit money to them and you can trade with low fees. They're different in the sense that you can only do trading, whereas with L2s, you can also issue, you know, create applications. So they might actually take the role of centralized exchanges. And if you think of the centralized exchange space, you know, you do have some large ones like Coinbase, Binance, Bybit, OKX, et cetera, but you have a pretty long tail, and some of them are, you know, geographically narrowed down to in terms of specific countries. So anyway, I don't have a very strong sense here, but my guess would be that we're going to see an explosion in the next 2-3 years, maybe longer, and then a consolidation eventually, perhaps, you know, 5 to 10 years from now. That would be my guess.
Okay. And Alex, we are at the part of the show where I get to tell you that you can tell me what is exciting you in this ecosystem. It doesn't have to be anything we spoke about. We call it the call of the day. What is your call of the day? What are you excited about? What do you think is going to happen? This is your chance to give us the hottest take that you have.
Wow. I'll refrain from shilling my own bags, and I'll go for something pretty safe. I am pretty excited about real world assets. And I think that people should think of stablecoins as the first real-world asset that have product market fit on-chain. And so the next thing to follow is, I think, tokenized treasuries. We've seen that go beyond $1 billion in issuance, which is pretty exciting. It's still very small, though. We're talking about hundreds of wallets that hold these, you know, $1 billion plus tokenized treasuries. But I think that arc is just going to continue, you know, stable coins first, then tokenized treasuries. And then what I hope to see soon, you know, I don't know when, is, you know, more types of real world assets, like, for example, music rights, I think should be tradable on chain. There are, of course, music NFT projects and so on out there. But I think music rights, obviously, like, who wouldn't want to own a piece of Michael Jackson's Thriller album or something like that, get royalties for that. But in the short term, I think tokenized treasuries are basically the next thing to consolidate that arc of real world assets. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Alex, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.